Welcome to the Someone Gets Me podcast, where you'll hear stories of inspiration and hope realized. Hosted by Diane Allen, intuitive empowerment mentor, who specializes in working with people who want to be freed from being stuck in life. You will hear personal stories and professional insights, along with tips on how to conquer overthinking, procrastination, and more. Here's Diane.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Someone Gets Me, and I'm your host, Diane Allen, as you know. And I have a really cool guest for us today. We're going to have so much fun. I'm not even sure where to start with this interview. Krissa T.S. is this really cool woman, and she's from Greece, and so you're going to love her language. And she lives in Maryland, though, and I have lots of friends in Maryland, so we already have things in common. But the thing I love about her the most is that she really helps people live their vision and go where they want to go, and she has a keen ability to listen in a way that other people don't listen. And she can really help you untie what's holding you back and get you moving. So we're already kindred spirits from there right out of the box. The other neat thing I love about Krissa, she's been on a TEDx talk, and she used to be a political strategy advisor. And to see her beautiful smile that I'm looking at and to talk to her, and when you hear her voice, you're going to think political strategy. That sounds different from her beautiful, pleasant personality and looks and smile. So I can't wait to hear about that. But Krissa has her own video show. She writes in her blog, and her life is centered around really helping people excel and do great things. So I'm so excited, Krissa, to have you on the show today. And so welcome to the Someone Gets Me podcast.
Thank you, Diane. I'm excited to be here.
Yes, it's going to be a really fun conversation because there's so many things to talk about. So first, let's talk a little bit about how you landed in this really neat place as a transformation coach after having been a political strategist, and how that all worked, and maybe some of your upbringing or whatever you feel led to say to us that gives us a nice picture of the multifaceted woman that you are.
That is a question that always makes me think of my journey looking back. I realized that everything makes sense, even the steps that I took in different directions that I thought when I began my career. So I started my career as a political strategist. I was consulting politicians and public personas and help them how to speak in public. That many times the consulting part involved a little bit of training in terms of how to speak. When we were tapping in the how to speak and how to manage the state and how to let go of anxiety when you are on addressing an audience up in a podium, I was using a lot of techniques I learned early on in my teenage years or around hypnotherapy. And I realized that they're getting a lot of help. I felt at the same time, I felt restricted to only teach this kind of techniques to politicians. So that's how I changed my whole career into helping people really make their message across and being understood and sharing their voice and their message with the world.
Oh, I love it. Hypnotherapy, when you were younger, serving you. And I was just talking to a client today about even when you learn something at one period of your life, doesn't mean that's the only time you're ever going to use it. And you're my evidence of it right here, because we never know. And I think it's always more valuable things we learn than we realize. I want to start with a question about storytelling and the power of telling our story. In fact, I just did a talk for a local podcast group and spoke with them about using our voice to speak whatever our authentic truth is and telling our story so that we're heard in a way that matters in our world. And so I know that you have a lot of experience with understanding and helping people see the value in telling their story and what that power is about. So I'm wondering if you could share with us some tips or some ideas, or, you know, if we're sitting here and we're like, you know, I don't even know how to talk about myself, or I don't even really know where to start. What kinds of things would you like to help somebody with that maybe wants to see the power in telling their story?
First of all, I believe that everyone has one or more powerful stories to share. Every time I prepare for a talk and share a story, I think about my audience, the people that are going to listen to that story. And I ask myself, how do I want the people in the audience to feel at the end of the story? And I close my eyes and I really picture their faces, and I dive deeper into their emotions and how I would like to inspire them to act, because knowledge without action is like, it's not that useful. We have to put that knowledge into action in order to create positive change in our lives. So after having done this visualization, I usually trust my intuition to just guide me on how to focus on my story. And of course, my story has a beginning, a middle, and an end, as any story. And I like to use the hero's journey framework, where the hero's journey framework is our hero is in the village. She's accepted by everyone, and she is leading an okay life, but she realizes that she either wants more, or she's curious to explore the outside of the village world. So she embarks on a journey outside of the village, where she experiences a couple of obstacles. These obstacles, although they might be challenging and painful, they put her into a learning journey as well. So she gathers her experiences from her learning experiences, and she applies that into her life. And then she ends up creating her own village, her own life, her own opportunities. So we can see in this storytelling approach that we have our main character, our hero, leading a life. Then something happens, leaves the village, goes into a crash mode or a challenging situation. And then by taking a certain action or a certain set of actions, the hero finds a solution and we have the resolution. This is usually how I suggest people to structure their stories. But in order to find your story, you have to dive deep into your heart.
Diving deep into our heart. Yes. When I say that to people, sometimes I get a lot of resistance, or they throw a wall up, or they look at me with that confused look like, what do you even mean? How do I even do that? So what would you do if somebody said that to you, like you're coaching somebody and I know there's somebody listening who, when you say dive deep into their heart, they're like, oh, I can't do that.
Right.
So what are the things that you might say to encourage them that, first of all, yes, you can. And second of all, it just takes a little willingness and follow some directions. And so what could be a direction to help somebody get that wall down, even if they don't know it's there?
I encourage them to think about what's important. What is the outcome? What is the goal of this speech? Mm-hmm. And I get this question usually from executives or business coaches. And the only way I can, if I could suggest some reading, some research, if they want to do some reading and some research around this dive into your heart, I suggest Brené Brown's books, because she is the leader when it comes to vulnerability, storytelling from the heart. And this is a woman who teaches that in big corporations, and she advises big CEOs to speak from the heart. So a little suggestion I usually teach people to do is think of what is important to you and put yourself into your audience's shoes. Again, how do you want them to feel at the end? How will their life will be different after listening to you? Ask this question to yourself, and I guarantee that you will connect to your heart. Maybe you will not call it connect to your heart. Maybe you will call it connect to your vision, connect to your passion, connect to your higher purpose. It's the same thing. It all leads to the heart.
Oh, that's brilliant. And that's, as you're saying this, I'm thinking, you know, because I do that all the time, but I know a lot of people throw the wall up. And what you're saying is so gentle and compassionate and friendly. It's like anybody can do that. It doesn't feel all scary like some people might think it would be. So when you're listening, it's a different way. I love it. I love it. I love it. That's awesome. Thank you so much for that suggestion.
My pleasure.
On behalf of all of us, thank you for that suggestion. So I would like to talk a little bit also about the whole idea of self-acceptance. I know that you did a TEDx talk, right, on self-confidence and practicing self-acceptance. And a lot of people might say they accept themselves, and it's like a cognitive thing, but I'm not so sure it's always congruent for everybody. And then there's a lot of people who will admit to not accepting themselves on the inside, even if they don't look about it on the outside. And you're an expert in that field. And I would like to hear from you, and I'm sure everyone would, about how self-confidence and self-acceptance even go together. And then what are some processes or ways to begin to build on that? You know, if somebody's alone or they're not understood, or maybe they don't have immediate coaching or help, but they're an action that they can take today, listening to this podcast, what can we do to gain some more self-confidence and some self-acceptance?
This subject is really close to my heart because of many reasons. One of them is that when I moved to the United States 4 years ago, I was dealing with a lot of challenges around my self-identity, whether I'm understood at all. I have this heavy Greek accent, and people were frowning every time I would open my mouth to speak. And I was a public speaking coach. So it was a little bit challenging to realize that nobody understands me here verbally, but also nobody's getting me socially and as a person. I had to really listen to people in order for me to be understood. But coming into a new country and dealing with the feelings of loneliness and dealing with my own issues around my identity, myself, my confidence, I realized that being a little bit proactive, just a little bit, helped me get out of my cocoon. I have to tell you, Diane, I was dealing with mild depression at that time. And I was afraid to even go out of the house to go to the grocery store, go to a restaurant. It was challenging for me. So what I did was, first of all, to say to myself, okay, we're together in this. We're get through it. You have to ask for help. So I found two or three people I could trust and say, you know what? I'm not feeling good. I really wanted the connection, but I cannot leave the house. And I joined a few groups that seemed friendly. And I say that seemed friendly because at the time I felt I was highly sensitive and highly introverted as a person. And I needed a friendly environment for me to be able to open up and feel a sense of okayness, first with my surroundings and then with myself. But I realized that there is this sweet spot when it comes to self-confidence, finding yourself, understanding who you truly are. And there is this balance between connecting with myself and connecting with others. So if I could give one suggestion to someone who is feeling lonely and are trying to find themselves is this: take one step at a time and find this balance between connecting to yourself, either through journaling, either through walking outside in nature, and connecting with others. if it's a meetup, for example, helped me a lot to find groups and test different kind of groups to see where I could feel more comfortable. There were a lot of times where I fell into the trap of trying too hard to fit in. And that was really painful, and energetically and emotionally. It took all my energy. And I realized early on, that's not what I'm supposed to do here. Nope. I know I'm different. I was like the black sheep wherever I would go. People were struggling to understand me. And I was struggling to understand myself. But in thinking that I can do it, I did it. And I suggest everybody to take a little step every single day to try something new and find this sweet spot between being connecting to yourself and connecting with others.
Oh, I have goosebumps listening to you. And your voice is so beautiful to me. And I'm trying to imagine not feeling understood and heard and all of that and the pain you must have felt in that time frame. And I am so glad you persevered and you got on the other side of this and are really blessing people with that message. That was absolutely beautiful. I have goosebumps all over me listening to you. Oh, yeah. And what great supportive tips and advice that you just shared, you know, that, you know, introverted, highly sensitive people, we are kind of like not understood, and that's okay. It's actually, I think, more of an asset than a liability. It's just that we have to get to that place where we see that the asset part, you know, and that was beautiful. Thank you for sharing that.
Oh, my pleasure.
Wow. Okay, now I'm speechless. I'm going to have to go on to another topic. one of the other things I really wanted to talk about after speaking to you initially was the idea that you really help people transform. Like, you call yourself a transformation coach. Mm-hmm. So far, getting to know you, I think that maybe you do more than that, and you offer more. You bring more to the table than simple coaching. And you probably already know that. And you're very good at working with people in situations that are highly stressful, like public speaking. Like, there are people who don't want to have anything to do with that, even though they must. And so you must have something in that little toolbox of yours that helps people overcome procrastination, where they won't say they want to. They say they want to, but they stop, or they don't, or they whatever procrastination gig. I'm sure you give people homework and they like don't do it because of procrastinating, not because of something else. And so I think when you're in the political and public speaking arena that you've been in, that procrastination thing probably shows up. I don't know if it's more or not than other places. So you're here up there. You're there to help them. They've obviously called you to get you to help them. You didn't force yourself on them or drop in their office and go, hey, I'm going to help you. And they're procrastinating and they're, you know, being resistant, or maybe they're being a little defensive, or maybe they're throwing the walls up. And here you are trying to serve and you're getting met with all these walls. So what would you want to say to all the procrastinators out there that are listening? And I'm sure it's probably everybody on some level in some way, to help them see that procrastination in a different light and maybe offer a way to help them get on the other side of it, or maybe make friends with it, whatever your advice would be to someone who has procrastination as part of their gig.
Every time we're faced with a calling or a big goal and we experience this the sensation of procrastination, this is a message. This is a message, and we have to have our ears open so we can listen to what it's trying to tell us. Many people have this resistance when it comes to their goals because it is something bigger than themselves. And like the yin and yang, we have this resistance because this is connected to our higher purpose, or it's a goal that moving us towards accomplishing one of our dreams, that we tend to have this resistance because something is trying to keep us safe or protect us. That comes out as procrastination. We avoid to tackle our tasks. We avoid to get into the zone so we can create whatever we want to create, because there is something in a voice in our head that says, it's okay. We can do it tomorrow. Today it's raining, or it's too hot, or you're too tired, or you're too bloated. I don't know what that voice might say, but that voice has a positive intention. So I suggest you do it whatever way you prefer. Either close your eyes and connect to that part of your body where this voice is coming from, or journal. Many people like writing. And write down, what are you trying to tell me right now? Connect to that space and say, okay, I know you're here to teach me something, to tell me something. What is that you want me to know? It's okay. I need you. I'm not going to let you go. Whatever you're bringing on the table, it is important. And then listen, try to be open and aware enough to write down whatever comes. Even if you think that you imagined it, write down whatever comes and then see how that makes you feel. So if, for example, the answer is, I'm too scared, I'm going to fail, or this is too big, or what will the people say? Breathe through that information and trust your intuition to guide you from there. Usually when we have procrastination, there is a part of us that says, this is too much. I'm not going to look at it right now or listen to it. All I want is to do something else. But what if you just sit with this emotion, this procrastination? I recommend people give names to their procrastination and create a relationship to it. I can share with your listeners, Diane, if you want. I have a free resource on my website exactly for procrastination. It's a hypnosis recording that I could share with you. It's applicable to any kind of goal that you one might want to achieve. It is really interesting to see how that can work with anything.
Brilliant. So I'm going to put the link to that free resource in the show notes and make sure that you can get a hold of that and go listen to Krissa. In fact, I think I'm going to get it, because I like sometimes procrastinate on things and I never really thought of paying attention to it in the way you just said. So you just kind of let a light bulb go off for me. And that free resource, I'm sure, will be very valuable to a lot of people. So I'll be sure that that link gets put in the show notes so that people can right away receive that great gift. Thank you so much.
It's my pleasure.
So what do you like to do for fun?
Dance.
Dance. Any certain kind of dancing?
From traditional Greek folk dancing to tango, Argentinian tango. Mm-hmm. And because I'm usually too much in my head in front of my computer or speaking to a person, like in my one-to-one conversations, I like to use my body any way I can. So hiking, it's one of my favorite things to do, along with dancing. But using my body in a way that brings joy to me is something that I wish I could do every day. Now I usually do only during the weekends, but there's always room for improvement.
That's wonderful. Moving around in a way that just really feeds our soul, you know? That's beautiful. Hiking and dancing and moving. Moving is so important, you know? Keeps us healthy on so many different levels. That's brilliant. So another little fun question is, I'm interested in, what is your favorite food? Like, do you what kind of food do you love to eat? Because I know you've traveled and you know, have lots of experiences. And so when you have a varied palate like that, there's always something interesting about it. So what are the kinds of foods you really enjoy that like, you know, you want to do a little bit?
I love this question. You know, Diana, I ask this question to people who tell me, I never had a happy childhood, or everything in my life is dark and sad. And I ask them, well, what's your favorite food? This always connects us. It's brilliant, brilliant question, because it always connects us to a happy place. So for me, it would be sushi. I love sushi. And I love the whole experience, because I believe there is a sense of mindfulness in eating sushi. Of course, I'm not Asian, so I have to be trained on how to use the chopsticks. And I am mindful because of that. Everything I do is in slow motion. And it takes longer for me to eat. But I have found that the way I eat when I'm eating sushi, apart from the fact that my taste buds in my mouth have a little happy dance of their own, I have found that I eat more elegantly. I sit up straight. I take my time. I am more mindful with my body. And that creates a wonderful eating experience for me. So sushi.
Wow. That is the best answer I think I've ever gotten to that question. As far as you are really amazing at how well you paint the picture. You know, I see how you help people with public speaking and how that is a perfect, perfect place for you to be, because that ability to tell that story, all these different stories, in a way that I like, I'm seeing it with you. I am there with you. Is really, really beautiful. I really enjoy it.
Thank you, Diana. I was not always like that, I have to say. It was a lot of soul searching I had to do in order to reach to that point. I remember this time where I was 14 years old, 13, 14. My parents were fighting and I was in the other room and I wanted to speak up, but I couldn't, literally. I would open my mouth and there was no voice coming out. That night, I remember taking a silent vow that I will help all the children that feel like I'm feeling right now to be able to speak. Now, I haven't fulfilled this vow yet, but I'm well along my way into helping adults do that for themselves, speaking up, finding their voice.
And I would want to say to you that in all these adults that you're helping find their voice and speaking up, there is that child or adolescent or young adult that opened their mouth really or metaphorically and nothing came out. And so you are fulfilling the vow. It's just kids in adult bodies.
Yes, true.
Right? I mean, I think everybody has that. That's part of everybody's hero journey, I believe, is, you know, we were born with our voice and then somehow something happens to our voice, and then getting back to the authentic voice and the power of that and being in our spot on earth is that hero's journey you spoke about in the beginning of the interview. And so I think you are fulfilling that vow. It's just that they're in big bodies, but you're really helping that younger version of them come alive with the safety of the adult there. So
you're amazing, Diane. Even if I am a guest right now on your podcast, I realize and I'm learning things for myself. So thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. It's really fun to speak with you, because I feel your pure heart and your pure altruism of what you really are about. And it's refreshing and beautiful.
Thank you.
So I want to talk a little bit about work-related things, because you have a great business and you offer wonderful things for people. And I have a few questions about it. One is, you're in Maryland now, right? Mm-hmm. Do you work with people outside of Maryland, like on Zoom or on an electronic way or whatever. Like, so if somebody's listening to you right now and they're in Europe or they're in Australia or that people in Israel and Brazil, are you able to serve them in a way and help them with their public speaking or storytelling or whatever they're looking for to transform? Do you offer those services individually outside of Maryland?
Yes, of course. And thanks to technology, now we have the ability to reach a person in any part of the world. And that's the beauty of it.
Yes. Okay, good. I'm glad to hear that. Now, you also do retreats and workshops, as do I, which is really fun. And so do you travel around and do those, or are those mostly in Maryland? Like, we could go on your website, I guess, maybe, and see where you're going to be. Is that correct?
That is correct. The upcoming retreat is going to be in Greece this October. And I like to have communication through digitally, but what happens in the retreat is magical because people come together and it's a whole different experience of being seen, being heard, being understood, and learn at the same time with people who are like-minded. And I've seen people creating friendships and people creating projects together. It's absolutely beautiful. On top of that, October is a wonderful month because it's still sunny in Greece, sunny and warm, and people get to enjoy the Mediterranean Sea and the beautiful, tasty cuisine, Greek cuisine, without the crowds, because October is considered a low season in terms of tourism in Greece. So we get the good weather without the crowds. And they are having, apart from the learning experience, they get to show up on stage, get their 5-minute presentation videotaped. And for those who choose, they are presenting, they are presenting to people who are TEDx organizers, so they can get a chance into going into a TEDx event as a speaker.
Wow, what a great opportunity. Greece, TEDx opportunity, great friendships and people, and the power of that personal connection and with like-minded people is why I still do my retreats. Because a lot of people say, well, why do you still do in-person things? You know, like everything's online. I'm like, first of all, not everything from my world is online. I like personal things. And second of all, I ditto everything you just said about the connection and the power of the connection of bringing the people together. It cannot be understated. And that is a great opportunity. And so you have information about that on your website. So if I put that in the show notes, people can find you that way and find that opportunity. And that is amazing to be able to create really cool retreats and things. So I have another couple little things before we start to wind down. I have all these things going on in my mind though. What kinds of things do you do to help yourself decompress after a stressful day or a stressful time where you need to kind of like calm down and kind of get your center back? Maybe if something's been a little bit, you know, stressful, what are the things that you personally do to help yourself as a highly sensitive, talented and gifted introvert? What do you do?
I have a variety of things that I try from time to time. It depends on what feels good. So the first thing that comes to mind for me to come back to my home, light a candle and take my drum. I have a little shamanic kind of drum, and I decompress by listening to this boom, boom, and feeling the vibration of this sound. That calms me down. Then it depends on my mood. I would either dance, I would put some music and dance, or I would go up into my meditation pillow and try a centering technique for 5 minutes.
Those are great, really great choices. You know, that's a wide range. So all of you all have some really cool skills now of how to decompress from stress, because most of us are all introverted and everyone is sensitive. So that is great. And so you also write a blog and you share a lot of content with the world. And thank you for doing that.
My pleasure.
I think it's so important. Like, that's why I asked you about the power storytelling, because I think that the more of us on planet Earth that find our authentic, real voice and take a stand, whether it's through writing or video or whatever it's through, that's what makes the world a better place. And that's what I'm here for, is to help inspire people so that the world becomes a better place and improves and uplifts and evolves. And so
thank you for doing that, Diane.
No, you're welcome. Thank you. It's an interesting experience sometimes, as you know, because we have a lot of similarities in the different things that get us going. So now that I've covered all of these amazing questions, and I could talk to you forever. It's just amazing. Like I have a new friend, you know?
Yes, I feel the same way.
Like a new kindred spirit. Next time I'm up in your area, we're going to get together. Is there anything at all that you feel led to share that I didn't ask you about, or that just is coming to your mind that you think would be really important for someone to hear?
We all have dreams, and we all know more or less how to achieve those dreams. Now, I'm not here to tell you that I know what your dreams are. What I know for sure is that you have them. I stand for thinking bigger about who you are and what you bring into this world. I stand for following your passion, following your heart, and going after that little scary thing that puts you out of your comfort zone. Now, there's a lot of ways to show up in this world. The thing is, before you show up, ask yourself, who am I? And what do I want to bring into this world? Connect with that higher purpose of yours, and everything will come into place.
There you have it. The most amazing, inspiring conclusion that I've heard in a really long time. And I personally am moved by this entire interview and your presence on the show. So thank you for being a guest. Thank you for sharing your authentic, real, altruistic self. And thank you for blessing all of us.
Thank you so much, Diane. Thank you for having me. And thank you for bringing this awareness and this ability into this world to say, I want to be understood. I want someone to get me.
Yes. So remember, everyone, check out Chris's website that's in the show notes. But remember this. Always keep your face to the sun so the shadows fall behind you. You are a rock star, so go after it. Until next time, be well.
Thanks for tuning in to Someone Gets Me. To find out more, please visit Diane's website at MissDianeAllen.com. That's MissDianeAllen.com. Be sure to take a second and subscribe to the show and share with anyone that you think may benefit. Until next time, remember, the world needs your special gift. So let your light shine.